Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, and we're up to Vahashta Diomar Mar. It's about 15 lines down from the top. First one in the line is Vitocha, and the Gemara is going to add a little more of Halacha to explain the opinion of Beis Hill that we learned earlier on the Daf, who says that you're not allowed to put food like kidneys. He calls them asosios and turmesin into the tanur on Shabbos. And the reason for that is chitui gicholim. We're afraid that he's not happy with the process, the long process of cooking. He might be tempted to inadvertently poke the fires and then be chayv from leches avora. V'hashta diomar mar. Now that we've said you're not allowed to be mashe in an oven on Shabbos, a pot that has asisios and turmus and gzera shem yechata b'cholim, therefore, hay kidera chaisa, but if it's a raw piece of meat and it's not cooked at all, shori, now you have no problem, shem yechata. Shori la nucha b'erev Shabbos imchashech b'tanur, you can put it into the oven to cook even the last minute before Shabbos. My taima came under lo chazi liurta, since the bishul process on raw meat will take through the night. It won't be ready anytime tonight. And that is true even if he would be mechata b'gecholim, even if we could stoke the fire, is therefore suche mesech daitomine. He has a complete hesech hadas. He puts it out of his mind. He's not standing over it, supervising, waiting to see did it cook, did it not cook. Is therefore lo osi lichtuye gecholim. We're not afraid that he'll come to do chituy on the gecholim. And therefore, it's mutter. Because the whole reason it's also to leave things cooking in this tanur on Shabbos is because of shemi echata. And here there's no chash of shemi echata. In the case of asisios and turmesin, which was prohibited by the Braisa a little bit earlier on the Amud, to be mashed in the tanur on Erev Shabbos, even if he decides that he wants to eat it, he doesn't want to eat it until after Shabbos, but that's because these kidneys need a long process of bishul. V'ein kol alayla v'ayom dailahem. And it's not going to be ready even during the next day unless he does chitui. So therefore he might come to be mechata. But here we're talking about something like meat which doesn't need that much bishul. It will be royal achilah mochor. He just has to be meseach das over the night. And then in the morning for the main course of lunch in the Suda Shabbos in the morning, he'll have already cooked meat. He would not be tempted to do chitui. Ubashil shapir dami. And also, let's say he puts into the oven a kedera of food that's already completely mavushal, what we call mavushal called tsarko. Once again, it's mutter to do that on Erev Shabbos. We're not afraid of chitui because it's already cooked. However, here's the tricky case, and that's boshil velo boshil. He puts into the oven a pot full of food that has already begun cooking, but it's not fully cooked. And in such a case, since it's not mevushal called tsarko, it's usur because he may come to want to speed up the process of bishul so that he can eat it tonight. And he'll do chitui b'gecholim in order to speed up the bishul. The Gemara later on in Perikira is going to be a machlokas tanoim about hashoyas tavshil me'erev Shabbos on a kira dolekes, on an open fire, according to Hananya, if it reached kemaych ben josoi and it's already fully cooked, it's not fully cooked, but it's cooked, then it's mutter. The Chachamim say, only if it's fully cooked, it's bashul called tsarko. Now there is machlokas rishonim whether or not we pass him like Hananya, which would be Lakula, once it's Kemaychel Ben Shosoi, or like the Chachamim. The Rif Paskins like the Chachamim, Tosus Paskins like Hananya. And there's going to be a Machlokas again, how to interpret our Gemara, according to the Rif, Bashil, which is Mutta, that's only if it's Mavushal called Tsarko. Tosus, on the other hand, and you'll see this Dibra Maschil Bashil, Bashil, is of the opinion that the Gemara is being Matur Shahir, even if it's only Kemaychel Ben Josoi. And Bashil Velo Bashil, which is also Ashol, so that's even less than Kemaychel Ben Josoi. Here's another way of being matir, leaving the meat in the oven over into Shabbos, and that's where he puts into the tavshil a piece of meat, an aver echad, which is not mevushal at all, it's completely raw, shapir dami, it's mutter, and this he can put in a tanur, just like we spoke about before, kedera chaisa. Now we're talking about garmo chaisa, which means that one aver that you throw into this mixture, it's totally raw, then he's not going to come to do chitu. He's already megaladas. He indicates that he doesn't need this tavshil until tomorrow, because a raw piece of meat is not going to cook tonight. It's going to need to cook overnight. The Gemara adds, v'hashta d'yomar mar. Now that we've seen in the Gemara above, that call me the kashi le zeka lo magali le, if you have something where if you open the oven and the wind comes in, it's going to damage, it'll be harmful for the tavshil. In such a case, there's no gezerah of chitui gecholam shem yechata, because he's not going to open up the tanur at all. And therefore, the Gemara concludes, hai bisra de gadya, if you have a meat from a goat, usharik, and he plasters down the opening that covers the tanur, shapir dami, then it's mutter. He's allowed to do this on Erev Shabbos, even right before dark, so that the meat gets roasted. And there are two reasons why there's no chash of chitu gecholam. First of all, because it's basar gedi, and basar gedi means that if you open up the oven to do chitui and poke the coals in the oven, then you're going to ruin the meat. And secondly, in order to open this oven, you're going to have to break the plaster that you put around the top of the oven, the lid of the oven, and he'll remind himself not to do chitui. However, debarcha, if you have meat of a ram, and that's called an aisle, is velo sharik, and on top to boot, he didn't place the plaster around the top of the kisui to plaster down the kisui to the tanur. Also, that he's not allowed to put into the oven on Erev Shabbos in order to allow it to roast on Shabbos, because we're afraid he might open up the oven, it's not sealed, and he might do chitu gecholim, because basar ayil is ein haruach mazikalo. The opening of the oven is not, even when wind rushes, it's not going to in any way damage the basar ayil. It's not like the case of bisra de gadya. And secondly, it's going to be a cinch for him to open up the tanur, because it's not sharik, it's not plastered down. So what's going to remind him that it's also lachatos? On the one hand, we have one strong reason to be afraid of chitu, and that's because it's basar ayil, in which the wind doesn't bother it at all if you open the oven. And secondly, we have another reason to be afraid, maybe he'll come to chitu, because the tanur itself is not plastered down. So there's nothing that he has to break open that would remind him, hey, today is Shabbos. Now what if it's got one of these two elements and not the other, right? We have the two elements. For example, in the kula we said it was basar gedi, and we said about basar gedi that the wind going in will damage it, and secondly it was sharik, he had plastered it down. So the Gemara wants to know Gadya for Lo Sharik. It's Basar Gedi. And we said about Basar Gedi, we don't want to, nobody wants to open the oven and let the air come in. That's not a good deal for the Basar Gedi. But on the other hand, Lo Sharik, he didn't plaster down the opening of the oven, so he might come to open the oven and poke the flames. So what's going to be the deal if we have one element or not? In other words, the nature of the basar is such that he would not normally open up the tanur. Or, alternatively, the Gemara has the same kind of scenario, but in the other direction, Barcha Visharik. He's got the basar of ayil, which we said, the opening of the oven and the wind coming in is not at all damaging. But on the other hand, there's a tzad lahakil here because he plastered down the opening on the lid, and therefore he'll probably remind himself that it's also if he tries to break open the lid, so that even if it's basar ayil, which is eino ruach mazikalo, we still have another reason to be matir, and that's because he was tach bitit misviv kisei hatanur. So what do we do in these two cases? Either the nature of the basar is such that would prevent or inhibit chitui because he doesn't want to let the wind come in, the cold air come in, or it's not the nature of the meat, but rather it's the nature of the oven itself. Did he cover the oven with a lid that was plastered down to the opening of the oven? So Rav Ashi says if you have one of these two reasons, either it's what we call basar gedi, or alternatively it's lo sharik. I'm sorry, if it's basar gedi and it's sharik, or it's barcha velo sharik, Rav Ashi says it's mutter. Why? Because we only need one mitigating circumstance, one reason why he would not come to chitu. If it's inhibited because the nature of the meat, in the case of gadya, because the cold wind is going to come rushing in and it's going to really ruin the meat, or the nature of the oven, because the oven was a case of sharik, so any one of those two reasons, so you can have, you can theoretically have basar gedi that's mutter, even though he wasn't tach, or you can have basar ayil that's mutter because he was tach petit. Rav Yirmi Difti, he disagrees with Rav Ashi and he says osir, you're not allowed to leave in any of those two scenarios the food in the oven. Because you need two reasons lahatir. That's the shita of Rav Yirmi Midifti. So you need both the nature of the meat and the nature of the oven. The nature of the meat has to be basar gedi, and therefore you're inhibited for opening the tanur and poking around the coals because the wind comes in, that's mazik. Or he's matir because the tanur, he was tachasag kisui bekit. And Rabbi Yirmiyah says, you know what? We need both factors. Unless it's A plus B, we're not going to be matir. We have to have both the nature of the meat and the nature of the oven. The Gemara now has a kasha ula Rav Ashi d'shari. If he's going to allow putting this into the tanur in one of those two scenarios, is what do we do with the following brisa? Ein solin basar batzol ubeitza. You don't cook meat or onions or eggs unless you put it into the oven early enough so that there's ample time before Shabbos for the tzli, for the roasting process to complete itself. Now it seems that this brisa prohibits basar in a general all-inclusive basar. It doesn't break it down into different categories of basar. So whether or not it's gedi or it's ayil, it's awesome. Even though in the case of Gedi, we said, why would he open up the tanur? It's going to ruin the meat. So Gemara answers, Hosam de Barcha velo sharik. The only case in which the Mishnah later on Yitessim Beis prohibits Sliya on Erev Shabbos is where you have two negative factors. You have Barcha, which we said is the kind of meat that is not ill affected by opening the tanur. And you have losharik, which means losharik means that he did not do tachbetit. So really, we only have one factor. Now, according to Rav Ashi, the Mishnah is talking about a case of basar shel ayil and losharik. So you know that you're absent both conditions. Mm-hmm. You have two negative factors here: both the nature of the meat, in this case, it's ayil, and the nature of the kli, which is an easily open kli. There are no, you know, you haven't plastered down the lid. So then Rav Ashi would say that that certainly in such a case it would be awesome because you're missing any one of two factors. You have two negative factors here, both the nature of the meat, which allows for opening the tanur, plus the fact that the tanur itself allows for opening it, it's not plastered down. So that's going to be us. However, in a case of either bas or gedi, or alternatively in a case of sharik, where they plastered it down, that would be mutter. So the Mishnah that we're quoting here from Yud Tesam and Beis, according to Rav Ashi, is going to be talking about two negative factors. The tarti l'reis, so it's the nature of the meat is ayil, and he did nothing to plaster down the opening of the tanur. Ika diamri. Now we have a second lishna. Digadya, that in the case of basugadi, bein shark, bein lo shark, whether he did the plastering of the cover of the tanur, or he didn't plaster it down, shapir dummy, it's mutter. And we're not afraid that he might do chitui. And this is very interesting because we never had a shita until this point that would be mater, even if he had a double reusa. But wait a second, we're talking about... My mistake, we're talking about Basa Gedi. Basa Gedi is very vulnerable to opening up the tanur. And therefore Shapir Domi, even though he didn't plaster down the opening of the cover. Debarcha Nami Usharik. However, if we're talking not about Basar Gedi, but rather Basar Ayil, then if he was Sharik, if he was Tach Betit, Shapir Domi. So again, we have one of two pluses here. Either you have the plus of Basar Gedi, or you have the plus of Sharik, where he plastered down the Tanur with Tit, is Shapir Domi. It means that everybody agrees that this would be mutter because all you need is one of two tam. And keep pligi, in what cases are machlokes amoroyim? That's in the case of barcha v'lo shark. There are two negative factors. It's first of all basar ayil, and secondly, he did nothing to plaster down the opening of the cover of the tanur. And Rav Ashi Shari, and this is something pretty new to us, that Rav Ashi would go as far, according to this Lishna Basra, to be matir, even in a case of Barcha V'lo Sharik, where there's a double negative, we call it Tarte L'Reyusa. And Rav Ashi is against the Gemara that we had earlier, that assumed that only in a case where, by opening the tanur, he would perhaps damage the meat that's inside of it, it's cooking, then we're not choshesh l'chitui. Rav Ashi is now being matir bebarcha, even though the ruach is it's impervious to the ruach, it's not vulnerable to the ruach. Now, why would Rav Ashi be matir if there are two if there are two factors, l'reusa, it's number one, barcha meat, and number two, it's lo shorek. Ravashi midifti aser, that doesn't come as any surprise. In fact, Rav Yirmiyah midifti, in the first Lishna of the Gemara, seemed to assume that you need two tamim lahatir. Here, you have two tamim lesar, and that's why Rav Yirmiyah midifti is aser, but Ravashi is matir, even when there are two factors lechumra. And Ravashi's logic is reasonable because since in order to do chitu, you'd have to first open the tanur, and then after he opens the tanur, he's got to poke the coals. This is already too far removed. He's not choshesh. Let's say he had an open fire right on top of the oven, like our cooktop. So let's say he had a campfire on the ground. Then Ravashi would be worried about Shem Yechat, but not a closed oven that has to be opened. And then you have to do the chitu inside the oven. So the Gemara asks Ravashi Deshari, what will Ravashi do with the following brisa? So now that Ravashi said that any kind of meat, even if he didn't do anything to plaster down the opening of the tanur, is mutter, what does he do with the Mishnah later on that says Ain Tzolin Basar Batzal Ubeitzal Kadeshi Tzolu Mibonyam Hasam Bibisha Gumri? That Mishnah is talking about basar, which is on top of a fireplace. It's on gecholim that are on the ground. It's not inside a tanur. And here it's very easy for a person to come to do chitui gecholim. There's no kisi at all. If it's inside a tanur, it's not usually anticipated that he would open the tanur in order to do chitui. And it could be the chitui itself inside the tanur will trap a certain amount of fire. There'll be certain ashes that might, infectious ashes that might ruin the meat or dirty the meat. So therefore, he's not going to do chitu. We don't have to worry about chitu. But when this price says ain sol and basar, etc., etc., k'deshi yitzul bod yom, that's the case of basar that's on an open fire, or in our literally in a campfire kind of situation. And that's where Ravashi agrees that there's a problem of Shem Yechata, but not in the case of basar that's inside an oven, even if the oven wasn't plastered in. Now, as far as basar gedi is concerned, this goat's meat that we said before, that if you open the oven, the wind rushing in is detrimental to the meat, and therefore we're not going to be choshesh that'll open the tanur in order to be mechata b'gecholim. On Ravina said, "Hai kora chaya." If you have a gourd or some sort of pumpkin and you haven't cooked it, it's raw, shaper dummy, you're allowed to put it into the oven on Erev Shabbos right before it gets dark so that it'll be roasted, because came the kashi le zeka kibisra the gadja dummy, since the ruach is, when you open the oven, is a negative factor, it really causes quite a bit of ruination to the dlas that you put inside. His koshile zeka kibisra the gadjin domi has the same status as basar gedi, which we said there's no gzeir shem yechata because it's a because the ruach is mazik. And here too, in the case of this kara, this dlas, Korah is, I think, one of the simonim we use on Rosh Hashanah. It's also detrimental to open the oven. The wind rushes in, and therefore there's no gzera of Shem Yechata. Now we go on. Beit Shammai Omrim Ein Mochrim L'Nachri V'Ein Toanim Imo V'Ein Magbiyim Olav El Kadesh Yagil L'Mokom Korah Beisil Matirim. So that's what we learned in the Mishnah. And we're going to try to get a little bit of an insight into why Beit Shammai is worried about selling things to a guy on Erev Shabbos. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa.
Beit Shammai Omrim, Lo Yimkar Adam Cheftzo Linochri. Person should not sell an object that he owns to a guy at Erev Shabbos. Lo Yishi Lenu. He should lend it to him, even though he's going to return it exactly as it is. Lo Yilavenu. He shouldn't lend money to a guy on Erev Shabbos in a way that the guy becomes obligated to bring him back to Damim, or at least some object that's similar to that value. V'lo yitein lo b'matani, shouldn't give a gift to a guy on Erev Shabbos, elo kidei she'agia lebeiso. This is the opinion of Beis Shammai. In other words, he's got to get to his house, the guy, before Shabbos starts. Because if the guy is running around on Shabbos and taking these objects from one rishus to another rishus, or dalet amos rishus harabim, the spectator thinks mistakenly that this guy is a shliach of the Israel. The Israel sent him, commissioned him to travel, and as a courier, let's say, to bring these different gifts and so forth and so on to somebody on Shabbos, and there's a Melech HaShabbos that's being done through the shlichus of Israel, and that's prohibited. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel hold in principle there is such a problem, but he says Kidei she'agia lebayis hasomuch lechoma. He doesn't have to, we don't need an amount of time for the guy to get back home, but enough time that he can come to a bayis hasomuch lechoma be'ir megurov. In other words, he lives in a certain city. You don't need to wait the time to measure the time in terms of whether he can go all the way into the city and make it home, as Beis Shammai would have, but as long as in this city he'll be able to find a bias that's, you know, that's right there when he enters into the city. It's called Somach Lachoma. Every city in those days had a choma around it. And even though he lives in a different city, Beis Hillel say it's enough that within that city, where the kalim and so forth were lent to a guy, the guy could reach some house, some building structure that's somach lechoma, that's near the kosel at the entrance into the city. That's enough to permit him to sell these items to a guy. Because it's nikar, it's quite clear that which the guy is running around carrying it from place to place, that's not because of the Israel who gave him the object. That's something that the guy is doing on his own, which is fine. That's perfectly acceptable. Rabbi Akiva Omer, now this is interesting because we've been studying mostly Beit Shammai, but we also had Beis Hillel who said by some of the Choma, and on this sheet of Rabbi Akiva, on this sheet of Beis Hillel, there's Rabbi Akiva who's interpreting Beis Hillel, and he says, Kidei she'etzem mipesach beiso. It doesn't mean that we have to wait the amount of time that take the guy to get to the closest house on the entry into the city, on entering into the city, but rather Rabbi Akiva says, how much time would it take until the guy would leave the Pesach of Israel and it's still daylight? I mean, that's a very short amount of time. But it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is arguing on Beis Hillel. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. No, don't be mistaken. Hein, Diri Rabbi Akiva, hein, Diri Rabbi Beis Hillel. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hillel, Beis Hillel, one Shita. But rather, Rabbi Akiva is coming to interpret Beis Hillel, and he's doing it in a way where the Tanakhama would disagree. Tanakhama had a different version, a different transmission of Beis Shammai, of Beis Hillel. Shalobar Rabbi Akiva rak lefaresh es divrei Beis Hillel. So here we have machlokas between Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva, how to interpret the shita of Beis Hillel. or rather, what is the correct formula for the Shita Beis Hillel? Tanakama holds that according to Beis Hillel, you need enough time during the day to reach the closest house that's near the Choma, near the entrance into the city. And according to Rikiva, all you need, and again, this is all interpreting Beis Hillel, all you need is Kadesha Yetzei B'Pesach Beis Oshi Yisrael Mibod Yom.
Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, we're talking about other cases that are not relevant to Shabbos per se, but similar to the other cases, about giving something over to a guy. Lo yimkar adam chemtzol l'nachri, ela imkein yodea bo sheichol akorim ha-pesach, divrei Beit Shammai. In other words, if you own chametz and you have mitzvah beer to get rid of your chametz, don't sell it to a guy unless you're sure that the guy has enough time to eat it up and consume it before Shab, before Pesach. So you have masses amount, volumes of chametz, and you sell it to a guy, and you know full well that the guy won't be able to consume it before Pesach, and you'll be mafkia this olchel, this chametz from beer. It means that beer chametz is not some sort of chovas gavra, but once the chefetz is in your possession, then it becomes nitfas in the chovas beer. Now, you would wonder exactly, you know, what time of the year we're talking about. I mean, do I have to worry 6 months in advance? Or is this within a 30-day period? So we'll hold off on that question for a while. Beis Hillel omrim, kol zman shemutu liochlo, mutu lemochro. If I'm allowed to eat the chametz myself, I'm allowed to sell to a guy, even though the chametz will remain in the possession of the guy over Pesach, it doesn't matter. According to Beis Hillel, the mitzvah beer chametz can be fulfilled by getting it out of your reshus. You don't have to destroy it, because Tashbisu is the flip side about your Abayi Matzeh, and if it's not going to be in your reshus, then you're clear as far as Tashbisu is concerned. Tashbisu doesn't go beyond Bal Yirah Abayi Matzeh, and here there's no Bal Yirah Abayi Matzeh because you sold to a guy, hence there's no Chiv Biur. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and here we turn to Daf Yud Tesamen Alf, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda has a certain middle of the road shita here. He's going to talk about something called Kutach HaBavli, and there's a whole discussion about Kutach HaBavli in the second parak of Pesachim. It's a kind of a mixture of pieces of bread that have already begun to spoil, together with some sort of a yogurt and salt. And this was very popular food, a delicacy in Bavel. They used to very often use it as a dip. And kol minei kutach, any other types of kutach, not just kutach habavli, also limkar shloshim yom kodem haPesach. Because kutach is something that has chametz in it, but yet it lasts a very long time. You don't sit down and make a meal out of kutach. It's just a dip. So you dip a little bit and a little bit, and over the course of time, it'll be consumed. So again, we don't want to leave this chametz in the hands of a guy. We want to make sure it's destroyed. But that chiyuv, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only sets in shloshim yom before Pesach, because that's the time of the chovas beer. Okay, so we'll stop here, and we're up to the top of Daf Yud Tes Aleph.